Hey, welcome back to the Gavin with Liam podcast.
Liam's tired.
No.
Liam's not tired.
Yeah, I'm tired. So today we have a lot of amazing news.
We actually do. Yeah. I mean, there is not a lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the coolest thing about this week is that the Tonys get announced before next episode, which is really exciting. The Tony nominees, I should say.
Tony nominees.
But what's new with you? How's your week?
My week has been amazing. My parents are visiting me in Philly.
Oh, yes.
So that's been a ton of fun. I've been taking them around to all the different places in the city.
When did they get to Italy?
They got here last Friday, I want to say.
That's cool.
Yeah, Friday. And we did a town called Cinque Terre, which is like five different towns all along the water. Very fun. Nice.
That's really cool.
And then they're here in Florence for 4 or 5 days. And then they go to Venice. They fly out of Venice. So they're doing that this coming weekend. But I have a ton of homework to do. So
like after this?
No, like this weekend. This weekend. So I can't join them in Venice.
That's okay.
Yeah.
How
about you, buddy? How was Songs for a New World?
Songs for a New World's good. It was good. Did the thing. I mean, it's kind of weird that like last week at this time was the day before we opened, and now it's just done. And then that's it.
Finished forever.
I had a lot of fun. I thought it was really good. A lot of really cool people came. You know, Alden Cable made a guest appearance, which was really cool. There's just a lot of cool people there that I wasn't expecting to come see the show, which was really fun. This is the first show that I've been in where the cast went out for food after every single show, given there was only five. But still, I've never done that.
Damn.
It was awesome.
I don't think I would ever financially recover from that.
Yeah, I didn't get anything at like three out of the five.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But it was really good, and I remember the words to my song, which I was struggling with last week. I don't know if I talked about it on here, but for the dress, the show opened Wednesday, and on Monday and Tuesday, completely forgot the words to my song.
Oh man.
So, got it every night. I did have to make my phone, this was my phone background for the week. Which is just the lyrics to the song. So really had to, you know, get that. I don't know. It was just weird. But the show was good. I'm ready to not have to worry about my vocal health anymore.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
It's a nice feeling.
Not having to worry about how much sleep I'm getting. Not having to worry about if I'm drinking enough water, even though that is something I worry about every day.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably should still drink water and go to sleep.
Oh, I totally do. I drink, I think, 2 gallons of water a day because my Yeti is one quart. It's a little more than a quart. And I drink like 7 or 8 of those in a day. Like I fill my water bottle quite a bit.
I don't know really what to say to that. 2 gallons.
That's a lot of water. At least during shows, it's 2 gallons. Maybe on a day like today, it's... I probably only have 5 of those today, 5 yeah. or 6, but a lot of water still. Got to. Big muscles.
Oh, your Yeti. Right. I thought you were talking about the Hydro Flask cup.
Oh, my cup?
No way is that a quart.
No, it's not. I also, if I'd have 2 or 3, maybe 2.5 of my cup, I think I would call that a quart. But what's your water intake look like?
Not enough when I'm here. I drink so much water when I'm at home because it's just constant. It's a constant flow.
It is a constant flow.
But Europe somehow sustains themselves on, especially Italy, on just alcohol and carbohydrates.
That's awesome.
With no water. Every dinner we've gone to, well, my parents have been here. We've had to like flag down the waiter 3 separate times to get the same bottle of water to the table. And then it's like a half liter bottle.
Yeah,
so it fills the glass like twice. I want to say like whatever cups are at the table, you get like 2 fills out of it and it's done.
That's not cool. I'm actually, speaking of, gonna grab water now.
Okay, I'll just talk to myself. Italy has been fantastic. I'm definitely excited to...
It's empty!
It's empty, no!
It's okay. But we can get into the thing that is Broadway.
Yeah.
Which is why folks are tuning in.
That crazy old gal named
People
Broadway.
Still listen. I was talking to some listeners this week.
Good.
Who were at the show. They're like, hey, I listen. And I'm like, that's crazy. That's crazy. I also broke the trackpad on my laptop, which is not fun. So it doesn't click. So like clicking and dragging is all on touch now. What?
I was asking what you were doing about that, but
I broke it myself. I was trying to super glue my keyboard back together and it sepped in. Not good.
Oh.
Not good. I shouldn't super glue things.
Especially technology.
Yeah. Some fast facts for you for this week. Peter Pan Goes Wrong, get ready. I'm about to hit you with like 17 shows that opened. Peter Pan Goes Wrong opened. The Thanksgiving Play opened. Prima Facie opened. Goodnight Oscar opened. Summer 1976 started performances and has extended. They haven't even opened yet. The Almost Famous cast album is out. Let's go. And Patti LuPone is mad at Andrew Lloyd Webber again. Those are your fast facts for the week. It was a pretty lively week, so I did put most news in the meat of the episode.
Yeah.
But the first piece that I got is Todd Haymes, the artistic director of Roundabout Theater Company, has passed away at 66. He transformed Roundabout from a small off-Broadway company to one of the largest not-for-profit theaters in the country. I was seeing a lot of theater people who knew Todd personally, just talking about how sad this is. And how they're going to miss his presence, especially in the theater scene. Just sad to hear.
Yeah.
Ariel Jacobs, a former Nina, Nessa Rose, and Jasmine, will lead the Broadway production of Here Lies Love. It was also announced that H-E-R, the singer who was recently in Beauty and the Beast Live, will be on the producing team for Here Lies Love. Performances begin at the revamped... it's either the Broadway or the American Airlines Theater. I don't remember which theater it's in. Those are the two that come to mind. On June 17th.
American Airlines, I think.
I think it's the American Airlines. And the seats are being taken out, folks. You can... I would love to go see this just for like the cool immersion aspect of it.
Yeah.
It seems... Have you seen any clips of Guys and Dolls in the West End?
No.
There's Guys and Dolls running in the West End right now that's like completely in the round. But it's like immersive in the round, so like you can either buy seats up in the balcony or the mezzanine,
yeah.
Or you can stand around the stage, and the stage is like, you know, a big rectangle that the performers come up on, and you can just stand, and it's like a club, and you're supposed to be like, I want to go because it looks really cool, and I've seen like really cool pictures of it. It looks really, really, really cool.
That does sound cool.
Yeah. Oh, also in other news, I'm going to see the national tour this Friday of My Fair Lady at the Citizens Bank Opera House here in Boston. I won the lottery for it, so I'm like, hell yeah, I'll go.
All right.
So that'll be fun. My lottery luck is...
Yeah, it's pretty infuriating.
It's pretty nice. So going with a friend on Friday night, which will be cool. I really hope the seats are good. I've never seen My Fair Lady. I know, of course, know all the music. I have, of course, sang On the Street Where You Live many times for Golden Age.
Oh, yeah.
That is a tenor Golden Age standard.
Yeah.
And I know the show, I've listened and read I'm very excited to see it. I really hope it's not obstructed view seats. Hopefully front row, because that's been the past two lottery wins that I've had in Boston with Sex and Hamilton. But I also know that like it varies show by show and theater by theater. So we'll see. Best wishes from the GWL fan base for me and my show this week. But you'll get a playbill pick from me on Friday. Don't worry. In surprising news, Lea Michele and Miles Frost, Tony Award winner Miles Frost, zero Tony Award winner Lea Michele, will announce the 2023 Tony Award nominees for the 76th annual show. They will drop the noms a week from today on Tuesday, May 2nd. We will get to dive into them on next week's episode because I guess they're at 8:30 in the morning.
That they always are, yeah.
I don't remember that. I remember Joshua Henry did the announcement last year, but I don't remember it being that early. So it's at 8:30 on CBS and then on the Tony Awards YouTube channel at 9. So cool. guess. I'm down. I will be watching. I'm going to have to get up for it because I don't get up until about 9 on Tuesdays. So next week, I'm going to have to get up a little early to watch this. Liam is going to be like 4 p.m.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. 2 p.m. 2 p.m. What a strange combination of these two.
So I really wonder if what do you think the conversation went like as for the Tony Awards committee to be like, who should we get to announce the nominees for Tony Awards? Because Leah, I know she's not won a Tony Award, but I don't know. Has she been nominated? I feel like she has to have been. Like,
No, because it's that famous clip of Jamie Lee Curtis with her and Jonathan Groff.
I don't think.
And we were nominated for a Tony, and then Jamie Lee Curtis goes, "No, Leah, the cast, the ensemble was, or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
was. You were not nominated for a Tony."
Yeah. Whatever. So maybe, a quick control F on her Wikipedia page of awards and nominations shows no TONY. So I don't think Leah's ever been nominated. Which is really weird because usually the Tonys would like, I know that it's like, I'm trying to find a good way to kind of phrase this, but it feels like the Patriots are bringing back like a bunch of like famous players, and then it's just like some guy who didn't play for the Patriots, and it's like, or it's like Peyton Manning. It's like, that's cool because he's Peyton Manning, but like, why is he there? Like, we're celebrating old Patriots players.
That's a good example. Yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like.
It feels like they were torn between last year's Tony winner and the most famous person performing on Broadway right
like,
now.
Like, Miles and Joaquina would have made the most sense because those are the two people that won featured actor and actress. But, like, Liam hasn't even been nominated for a Tony Award. Like, yeah, the Tony Awards know who Leah Michele is because she's Leah Michele, but it feels like the Patriots just brought back Peyton Manning, and it's like, you've literally never played for this team. Like, that makes no sense. Which, I guess that's the only way that I could describe how this feels. But cool! I guess. Miles, if it wasn't Miles, I would be like, why are we doing this? But,
yeah,
sure.
I'm happy. Sure.
Leah needed to be involved in the Tonys this year because she's pissed she can't be nominated for Funny Girl, so I guess this is the next best thing. Get her involved. She gets her little... Yeah. Involvement fist bump.
Were we talking about this last week? Where did they make a bid to have her somehow be nominated or like be considered?
I think the Tony Awards committee can kind of do whatever they want, and there's certain instances in which they can break their own rules. Yeah. So like, but it would be the first time that's happened, if I'm not mistaken. And it's like, why would we do it for Leah? It's just not worth it enough. Like, it's not. Like, for them to break their own rules for her to even be eligible for leading actress, like, I wouldn't like that. I would really say the Tonys are now a bust and we need to focus on Drama Desk or something else that is more credible. But yeah, I'll be watching. Will you be watching, Liam?
Of course I will, Gavin.
We're going to give our Tony Awards predictions later in the episode. I have mine ready to go. Liam's might just be off the dome, or maybe it's just, do you agree or not agree with Gavin's predictions?
Based on what I read from your list, I have the same nominations. Mm-hmm. With
winners, I think, will be different. Yeah, yeah, sure. I tried to do as much research as I could, get as many different opinions as I could on who people think will be nominated for what. And I kind of, in certain categories, really tried to make it, what do I actually think will happen? And some are like, what do I just want to happen? Because it's my predictions and I can do whatever I want.
Exactly.
So we'll get into that later, but that's the best part of the episode. Tony Awards. We were just doing the Tonys last year. It feels like we just had this episode, which is crazy. Crazy. I don't think we were recording before nominations came out, but we were absolutely recording by the time the Tony Awards happened.
Yeah, it was it started late May, early June.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris has extended in his run with Peter Pan Goes Wrong, now playing through May 7th, which is awesome. This was most likely pre-planned, or they rather had the capacity for extensions if he wanted it. He's playing a bit part. It seems manageable and easy, and there's certain shows that he's not doing, so it does not seem like that big of a commitment. And he has talked in many, many interviews that I've listened to where he's like, I love this. This is really fun. Why not? And he's selling tickets. Let me flash forward to the grosses really quick. Okay. you know, not what I expected, but he's selling tickets. Cool. I would love to see this show. It just, everything that I see looks awesome. It's just, it's genius when you can fully, fully commit to the bit like they're doing of the show going wrong. Like their playbills look like they've been messed up. Like the red carpet banner looks like it's been messed up. It's just so funny. Like the bits that they're doing, it's really, I love commitment to a bit and it's really good. It's really, really good.
So did you see the red carpet interview goes wrong, basically? Where like it was something they posted on like an Instagram reel or something where they were asking all the stars questions and then they like didn't show the question, but they just showed like Neil Patrick Harris being like, that's a really like disrespectful question. Like I can we go? Like can
yeah,
be done?
I think I know what
and
you're talking
the
about.
The next person in the microphone is like hitting him in the face as they're holding it for him and like the other one, the microphone is like drooping down and it's like not getting it or like a bee flies onto the lens. They're just doing everything.
That's what I mean. Like they're just committing to the bit and it's awesome.
Ultimate like British humor. So like painful but hilarious.
I would really like to see it. You and I got to plan a trip where we can see some shows.
Yeah.
Because I would totally want to see.
It's going down for real.
It's going to go down for real. So I also wanted to do, I mentioned in the fast facts that there were quite a few shows to open. So I wanted to do a little, they're all plays. If any of them were musicals, you know, I would be giving more attention to it. But the reviews for Peter Pan Goes Wrong, Thanksgiving Play, Prima Facie, and Goodnight Oscar. I'm going to start with Peter Pan Goes Wrong. The review aggregator site, didtheylikeit.com, gave it 9 thumbs up and 4 thumbs medium with 0 negative reviews, which was really, really cool. From Jesse Green of the New York Times, in Peter Pan Goes Wrong, which opened Wednesday at the Ethel Barrymore Theater, with a game, Neil Patrick Harris, in a guest role, the jokes and mishaps are still funny, if not quite as magical the second time around. And now I'm going to read a review for... I'm just going to read one. I'm going to read, like, either a positive or... maybe I'll just do one mixed review from each, just to give all the scope. But Peter Pan Goes Wrong, the reviews were basically like, this was great. It was just, we've already seen this with Play That Goes Wrong, which is the only criticism. It's like, yeah, it's the play that goes wrong, but Peter Pan. Like, it's, yeah, that's cool. That's what it is. So a mixed review from Brittany Samuel of Broadway News, writing on the Thanksgiving Play. The Thanksgiving Play had 5 thumbs up, 4 thumbs medium, and 3 thumbs down. So pretty scattered across the board. But one mixed review from Brittany Samuel of Broadway News, like I said, is satire is one of the American theater's greatest tools. At its best, the genre is both an effective pedagogical tool for change and a sharply aimed weapon for critical analysis. Larissa Fasthorse's The Thanksgiving Play only grazes both marks. So, interesting. I don't really know much about this at all. Prima Facie opened to 13 positive reviews, 1 mixed review, and 0 negative reviews.
Wow.
I'm going to go back to Jesse Green of the New York Times, who has a mixed review. Its star, Jodie Comer, late of Killing Eve, gives a performance of tremendous skill and improbable stamina, especially considering it is her first stage appearance. That sentence was underlined. The production, directed by Justin Martin, is chic and accessible, with design flourishes by now de rigueur. That's jargon I don't understand. To underline the idea that is big event, and the reform of sexual assault jurisprudence that the play advocates could hardly be more convincingly argued or worthy of our attention. But the underlying and the advocacy do something odd to the drama. They make it disappear. So really interesting. I mean, this opened to really, really good reviews. I would love to see this. It a lot of people were saying could sneak in there for best musical or something like that.
It would not surprise me.
Very interesting. Goodnight Oscar is the final play that I'm going to read. With starring Sean Hayes. That opened to 5 thumbs up, 4 thumbs medium, and 3 thumbs down. I'm going to go to a mixed review of Juan A. Ramirez of Theaterly. He says, in a case of life imitating art, imitating life, Sean Hayes' stellar take on the virtuosic, self-destructive pianist Oscar Levant in Goodnight Oscar matches its setup, a captivating presence struck in a waiting room. Very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Love Sean Hayes, so I think that's... really cool. Those are your reviews for the 4 shows. That
I love
have
this
opened.
Website. It's such a great way to just like get everything
It's such a great right one. And you can go back to like old productions. Like if you put in like MJ.
I was like, doing that right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they've got reviews for MJ, which MJ actually opened to pretty not good reviews.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's just to go back here and it has them all, which is really, really nice. Like, I don't know if you could go as far back to like, what about Dear Evan Hansen? Is that even in here, you think?
Yeah. I mean, MJ is 5 thumbs up, 5 middle, 6 down.
Yeah. No, not great reviews. Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway, they only had 5. So 5 thumbs up and then 0 everywhere else. But it's such a good website. It's perfect. I mean, review aggregates, which is, I mean, Broadway World does the same thing where they do a review roundup, but this looks so nice. Like they do such a good job, like making it look visually appealing and easy to understand, which is really great for folk like me. And it's just such a good way to understand like what do the critics think of this show. I wonder if the critics think differently than folk like you and I seeing this show. It's just interesting. It is now time for closing predictions of New York, New York. The Broadway production of New York, New York running at the St. James Theater opens tomorrow, April 26th. I'm going to start with my prediction because I think I started with Liam's last time. I have it written down. I'm going to write down Liam's as well. I think New York, New York on Broadway is going to close on January 7th of 2024. I don't see it running for very long. Not a year, not even a year. I might be wrong with this, but I wanted to be strong and wrong here. Just because looking at their financials, it's kind of what I'm thinking.
I think that's so reasonable. It's just like...
Here, I'm going to... While you think, I'm going to give a little bit of my reasoning.
Okay, keep going. Because I was set on the end of February...
No, that's not unreasonable at all. That's more reasonable than mine.
Just so, because there's so much, and it's sorry, just it's it already has the base of Kander and Ebb, Lynn, mm-hmm. and the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget that this is a movie.
Uh huh. Me too.
And it's such a young cast. Everything I'm seeing, like it looks so energetic, mm-hmm. and I feel like, regardless of how it's written, I think the performance would shine through, and like the energy that the cast has. So I'm gonna say March 17th of 24.
That's a good prediction. I like that a little bit more than mine, but like I said, I had to be strong and wrong here. The only reason I gave it a lesser lifespan than I think is reasonable is only because they're not operating above $1 million. And I think a show of what looks like a pretty high budget show. I mean, they're going to be up for, you know, like scenic design, lighting design, costume. Like they're going to be up for all these elements. There's a pretty large cast as well.
Yeah.
And in weeks like last week, where we had an objectively really good week, their grosses were still under $1 million. And so this week they jumped to just above. I'm sorry. Last week was just over $1 million, and this week they're back down under $1 million. And last week was a really good week. So I don't know. I just don't think they're going to operate at the capacity that they need to really sustain this show. So I was just going to cut their life a little bit short. It might be a little premature to call it January, but that's what I got. I like your choice too.
I think both of these are good. Yeah. I think they're saving a lot of money by not having a single cast member that I recognize off the top of my head. I'm certain there are cast members I've seen before, but like I'm scrolling through the cast and creatives, and yeah. I think, you know, the main guy, Colton Ryan, let me look at his bio. So you mentioned,
yeah, he's been around a little bit.
Been around a lot of TV stuff though. It's a lot of film credits. Oh, he was Connor. Yeah, I guess that's.
Yeah, the Dear Evan Hansen movie. That. I will give you his Playbill reference page really quick. So he was in the Broadway company of Dear Evan Hansen, understudying in the original cast, as well as OG cast of Girl from the North Country, as well as the Pirates of Penzance one night reading thing that was that was last year. And then New York, New York right now. So And then, if I'm not mistaken, Colton Ryan was also Evan Hansen in the Evan Hansen film. Colton Ryan, Evan Hansen film.
He was Connor.
Yeah, he totally was. So that's where a lot of people know him. Also, just word of mouth for this show is like, it's good.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make me feel much. Like, it's cool. I've just heard it's like a love letter to the city. It's awesome. If you love New York, like, this is such a show you're going to want to go see, especially if you live there. But even from the people who are like really trying to like it, they're like, it was just, it's not going to compete for something like best music. Like, it'll get nominated for best musical. We'll get into that, but I don't think it'll compete for it.
Yeah. And here's the other issue, not as much issue, but their own about the show page. This is what it says. A spectacular new musical for a singular city, New York, New York, features an exhilarating new score by the incomparable John Kander and Fred Ebb, an original story by David Thompson with Sharon Washington, additional lyrics by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and visionary direction and choreography by Susan Stroman. Great, perfect, I still know nothing about the show.
Yeah.
It's 1946, the war is over, and a resurgent New York is beginning to rebuild. As steel beams swing overhead, a collection of artists has dreams as big and as diverse as the city itself. Still, I get the setting. I don't know anything about the show.
Right.
Among them is New York native Jimmy Doyle, a brilliant but delusioned musician looking for his major chord in life. Music, money, love. The odds are against him getting all three until he meets Francine Evans, a young singer just off the bus from Philly who is destined for greatness. If they can make it here, they can make it anywhere. I get a little bit, but like the meat and potatoes, I need like a synopsis because I can't see the show for so long. And then it's like,
yeah,
a tribute to big band and a love letter to the city and swinging beams in 1946. I'm like, great. No one has ever made a show like this. It's not on the town. Totally not. Not at all.
That's kind of how I feel, is it's just, I don't think it's about the plot. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I don't anticipate this being about the plot, and I don't anticipate this being, I mean, it's just, it seems like a love letter to the city. That's really what everyone says it is.
And when you open a love letter to the city in the city it's a love letter for, people are going to see it. And when the love letter is written by Kander and Ebb and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I helped write it!
Yeah! I helped write this! Like, it's going to sell tickets. And like I said before, the energy that's coming out of it, they posted clips. It looks like literally everyone is on, like, on something to put in these performances. They look really young and hungry and, you know.
Young,
they're
scrappy,
just like their country.
Hungry, yeah,
yeah. I'd
like to see it.
Rambling now, but I'm excited to see it.
I've heard a lot of people saying that. I've heard a lot of people saying that this is going to lead Tony Award's nominations this year, just because it's a new musical and it's up for all those different things. I think Some Like It Hot will also get quite a few nominations because it'll be. I think these big cast shows that are big and glamorous are really up more for like costumes, scenic, lights, sound, all that, book, music, all that. So I wouldn't be surprised if New York, if by this time next week, we're talking about how New York has like 13 nominations, which wouldn't be crazy. I don't think to assume.
Yeah.
Patty has some words. I've been offered something, and there's something... I'm not doing it in the voice. I've been offered something, and there's something I'm interested in doing. But I said to the producer, don't do this on Broadway. I want to work on East 4th Street. I don't want to work on Broadway anymore. Broadway's now turning into a combination of Disney, Las Vegas, and the circus. Plays are closing. The education of an audience is in grave danger. Plus, Times Square is a nightmare. It's like the lowest common denominator of humanity hanging out in Times Square. They're not going to the theater. They make it difficult for people who are trying to get to the theater. And when you go to the theater, it's way too expensive and it's compromised. So I'll never do 8 shows a week again, ever. It's just over. I mean, if I have had that Actors Equity card for 50 years, 1973 to 2023, and that's enough. I don't want to be on stage. I want to end my career on film, Lapone stated.
Look, there are so many, scarily good points in this little paragraph. As we were talking about right now, we had 4 plays open this week, and we spent 5 minutes talking about them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we, like, the two of us as performers are more geared towards musicals because that's what we're interested in. That's what we perform in more. But also, like, you know, the younger generation that we're a part of, we're less focused on the plays because, like, they're not able to compete with something that feels like a combination of Disney, Las Vegas, and the circus. And totally. I don't love those things, but a lot of audiences do. And the audience members who can pay to see those things, that's what they want right now. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we always talk about the jukebox musicals and the musicals that, like, follow real life people and, like, just recycled material and stuff that doesn't feel inspired, kind mm-hmm. of. And, you know, for me, like, the last show that was put up for me was like Company.
Totally.
Like there, and it was still a revival, you know, and there's shows after that I'm forgetting for sure. Right. But, like, a lot of things are film adaptations or, you know, and any of the things that I've said, they're using music that totally. Already existed. Even yeah. New York, something that people are really excited about was a movie. And
yeah,
I'm sure is going to have New York in it.
So I think the easiest way to kind of describe this feeling is, like, good plays and good musicals outlive themselves, outlive the time that they were written for and yeah. work for and service audiences hundreds of years down the road. Yeah. Heinrich Ibsen wrote A Doll's House a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we're still able to adapt it and work on it and do it. And it's on Broadway right now. And it's selling tickets.
In the West End, Mousetrap opened, whatever, like 78 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And they're still running the same production.
Yeah. Like Phantom just closed. It just ran for a long, like, continuously. I don't even just mean that. I don't mean that. I specifically mean just work itself can still be analyzed, can still be depicted. Like, in theater history class, the plays that you're reading because are that good. And that's how you know theater is good and work is objectively good. Just because it's able to serve multiple generations and outlive itself, its creator. Yeah. It's done something bigger. And so I think when you look at shows that are on Broadway right now, my mind immediately goes to revivals. Sweeney Todd, Parade,
yeah.
Into the Woods. And it's not going to Kimberly Akimbo, New York, Something Like It Hot. Even yeah. though I saw Kimberly Akimbo, which is the front runner for Best Musical, it's my pick for Best Musical. I don't think it'll outlive its time. I really don't.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't go that, it just doesn't do that much. It doesn't go that deep. Not to say it's not a good show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I just don't think it'll outlive its time. And I think that's what Patty means. And I think that's a lot of people's gripe right now with Broadway is it's like, you're not making anything right now. That's worth, it doesn't feel like you can put it in a time capsule and it'll still work.
Yeah. And the time capsule, it doesn't need to be like, because the comedy aspects of shows a lot of times are adjusted for times in any revival.
Totally.
Like the scenes, you know, back to Company for a second, another 100 people.
Yeah.
That number, they talk about, you know, their service will explain if they're out or something. Like, that doesn't make any sense now. But when it was written, it was talking about, you know, you put the message on the machine and it tells you that you're out. Mm-hmm. You know, that's whatever it is. Now it's call me and I'll explain. You adapt things small like that. You don't adapt the entire story because it no longer resonates with someone.
Right. Right. Like,
you adjust a joke about the marital dispute because no one's having that fight anymore. They're fighting about the weight loss and the not drinking. Like, that's like the fight that they have in the beginning with the first couple.
Yeah, that's easy. It's not rewriting the message in the plot. Yeah. Not message. My theater history teacher hates when I say the term message or when anyone says message. He said if a playwright's trying to, he's always like, if you're trying to deliver a message, use Western Union, like use pen and paper. So when you're trying to convey an idea or something.
I know
what you mean. Getting into our last few bullet points here, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child has recouped its initial investment. Yay! Evidently, it actually happened late last year, but they're celebrating 5 years on Broadway, or as they call it, 5 years of magic, which will include magical surprises, in-theater giveaways, and an in-person lottery. I personally don't understand why shows don't announce their recoupment when they recoup. I guess it doesn't really matter. Like, it's not like anything changes. It's just like, awesome, you did it. Took a long time. It took a while.
I know.
This opened in what?
Well, it said 5 years, right? So,
You're right. That's true. Thank you. 2018 then. But it seems like a while. I guess COVID really hindered stuff like this, but
yeah,
I don't know why you don't, like, there must be some sort of incentive to just wait, because Six did the same thing with celebrating 6 years. And it's like,
I think there's still the taboo idea around money in America, where like, how much money are you making? Especially when you ask so much for a ticket.
Yeah.
It gets a little uncomfortable for some companies, or at least for the producers.
Interesting. Yeah.
The producers have been making money since the first day it opened.
Right.
But the production has not.
Right.
And now they are, and that's amazing. But honestly, 5 years makes perfect sense, because, you know,
there's a pandemic, and
looks like it costs $14 trillion. Like,
every second
there's magic, and that the money also has their initial investment includes development into this magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those things might have taken years to develop the special effects for it. Because it's practical. It's right in front of your face. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited that Harry Potter recouped. Welcome to the black, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Liam, is there anything in the Chicago corner today?
I got nothing.
No? Nothing in the Chicago corner?
Unless I'm wrong. I was just looking through again.
I don't think there is.
Okay.
I didn't see anything. If there is anything and you don't catch it, I'll put it in there. But nothing came across the table. We've only had 2 weeks of the Chicago corner, and the Chicago corner has been empty both weeks.
About the Chicago corner. Before we get into the Tony predictions, did you see the Jaws behind the scene play?
Oh, yeah.
On Broadway?
I think I did. Like Jaws Broadway?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It seems so strange.
You're right. I didn't include this because it was so it just broke. Like right as
also the clips. Did you see the clips of Oliver?
Yes, he sounds so good.
Oh, all the comments are like, this generation is coming for your jobs. And
oh, he's so good.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm scared. This kid is amazing.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, Encores, New York City Center's Encores is doing Oliver in a few weeks, and it looks great. I mean, that kid was a Music Man. And I remember when he got cast, he sounds great. Where Is Love is with a song that they use for promo purpose. They do such a good job with like showing rehearsal videos. And that was the very first song that I ever sang for an audition in musical theater. And so hearing that was just like, damn, I haven't heard that song in a while, but
yeah,
he killed it. And I know that this production is just so, so good. I say this with everything. I'd love to see it. But yeah, love it, Oliver, at the City Center. Very cool.
Yeah.
But like you were talking about with Jaws, I just pulled up a New York Times article. So it says, The Shark is Broken, a comedy about the making of Jaws that stars the son of one of the film's main actors, will open on Broadway this summer. It's a play, and it's about the making of Jaws, which is very, very interesting. So I didn't include this just because I don't think I had time. It broke like right as I was setting up here and getting out of class, but Jaws play about the making. I like shows about making shows. It's cool. I'm very interested in kind of what this looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For when I first saw it, I was like, a Jaws play?
And then
I was
like, supposed to be?
Oh, about the Jaws movie.
You thought Life of Pi was interesting. Wait until you see Jaws on stage.
You thought Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark was scary and dangerous? Wait until you can get like upgraded to sit in the Jaws seats where like the shark eats you.
You become an extra. You become an ensemble member.
You get to become an ocean swimmer.
Yeah.
Or a surfer or something.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Very last thing that I have is that the Tonys pre-show will stream for free on Pluto TV. I don't know about the actual awards. The actual awards have not been that accessible recently.
NBC?
Because theater is...
Okay.
It's fine. It's time for Tony predictions. Dance, dance, dance. So excited. To start off with best musical, here's what I got. And you can... I'm going to give you my stuff and you're going to tell me how you feel.
Okay.
For best musical, for the nominations I have, Kimberly Akimbo, Some Like It Hot, Shucked, New York, New York, and Anne Juliet. I have Kimberly Akimbo taking it home. What do you think? I personally would be really surprised if any of this was different.
It's so bleak. It's so bleak.
It's pretty bleak.
Like, this has to be one of, like, the weakest best musical groups.
When you look at other... I looked back.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, you got to remember that, like... There's only one, maybe two really, really good shows to come out of it every season. I think Kimberly Kimbo's good. I really see it winning, especially over what I'm looking at here for everything
else. We were just spoiled for all those years because we were like, oh, yeah, Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, the same year.
And like, Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812. Like,
yeah.
Like, any of those would take this home this year.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's between, very easily between Kimberly Kimbo and Anne Juliet. I can't give it to Anne Juliet because I don't. Those aren't
what won
my
the
shows.
Olivier that year. Did Anne Juliet win an Oliver?
An Oliver Award. I think it did.
Best Actress in a Musical. 9 nominations and 1-3. It says including Best Actress, so I doubt that it won for the show itself.
Yeah. I'm sticking with Kimberly Kimbo on this.
Yeah, I like that too.
And
now for
two,
a little discourse.
Four, five. Okay, five. Is there one more show that could get a nom for best musical?
No, it would be those five.
It would just.
You mean show that's not on this list? The things we're not thinking about are
Bad
like
Cinderella.
Bad Cinderella.
Is there a list of the eligible?
Of eligible, you could probably find it.
No, I don't care.
I don't remember. If I'm being honest, we do this every week, and I still don't remember what other shows opened. I mean, there's plenty of musical flops. There's plenty of revival flops. Best Revival Time.
Yep.
This is crazy. Here are the four nominations. Parade, Into the Woods, Sweeney Todd, and Camelot.
Yeah.
Only four here.
Only four.
I think that's a thing. Best Revival of a Musical. Those are the only four that I could think of that would be nominated. And I don't think there's ever more than four. No, there's four. Going back to 1994, where there was four. Let's see what we had last year. Last year, we only had three. That's COVID. Oh, okay. Three. Oh, three is a thing. So it's either three or four. Oh, okay.
I think Camelot gets a nom.
I think four. I think four here, for sure. It's so stacked, it has to be.
Out of respect, they all need to get a nomination.
Totally.
Have you said your pick?
My pick is Parade.
Yeah. Look, I love Sweeney Todd with all my heart. And Into the Woods.
It's only between Parade, Into the Woods, and Sweeney Todd. You and I can agree on that.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
But
I'm happy Camelot happened because it's a cute show and I like the outfits. And I want to wear medieval armor on stage at some point in my career.
Yeah.
But let's get serious now. Parade, Into the Woods, Sweeney Todd, goodbye Camelot. Now, into the thick of it, it's really between Parade and Sweeney Todd.
I think, really?
You have seen both.
I think it's between... I've seen all three, technically.
Yeah, I'm on my point, though. You've seen both between Into the Woods and Sweeney Todd.
The productions that are in consideration,
Is a better... production.
I mean, I saw the tour of Into the Woods, so with a lot of those same things in mind, they pretty much picked up the Broadway production. From what I saw, it's a very stripped down production. I think it's just about the same as when they did it on Broadway.
Yeah.
I think Into the Woods is going to take... I mean, they're nominated for every category with actors, because that's what the show did. They stacked the cast. I think Parade. No, I don't know. I don't know if I think it's Spittoon, Parade, Into the Woods. I think it's all three. I saw all three. I think Parade will win if the voters can just vote the way that I think they should, because this does the most. It's not just about which show is the best, in my opinion. It's about what does the most for society and what does it say? What are we trying to do here? Parade just checks all the boxes of what a perfect revival is. They adapted, but didn't adapt too much. They worked on the show, and it's still true to what it is. And this show needed to get praise when it was originally written, and now I think it's really going to have its time. I really think it needs. I really think it'll win.
Making really bold directorial choices.
Totally, Michael Arden is totally going to be up for and maybe even win direction for this. I would not be surprised.
That's on this list, right? No,
I only did the four acting categories and reviving the musical, just because then we would be here forever.
That's very fine. We'll do that on our actual
on Tony.
Episode.
Yeah, next week when we recap. But if you also want to follow me on TikTok at Savvy Gavi, I'm going to be putting all these predictions into fun little TikToks. If you want to go engage with and comment on those, so many people have disagreed with me in the comments, and you can do the same if you would like. Now on to leading actor.
Yeah.
For the nominations,
I'm
going to
agree with Parade, by the way.
Okay, great. For leading actor, I have Ben Platt, Josh Groban, J. Harrison Gee, Will Swenson for A Beautiful Noise, and Andrew Burnap for Camelot. I'm making this assumption only because of what I've read, and I've been convinced here. I mean, I've seen Ben Platt and Josh Groban. Between the two, it's Ben Platt.
Yeah.
J. Harrison Gee, I've just heard, is really good. And
is he in Shucked?
That is Some Like It Hot. J. Harrison G is non-binary and chose to be submitted for leading actor, who is alongside Christian Borle. And every single news outlet that has predictions or people that are making predictions for leading actor in a musical, they're putting him at the front of this list.
I could see it.
I didn't see it. I mean, I have talked to people who have seen it, and they said he was awesome. So very interesting. Very interested to see what this turns out. This is not a confident pick. The nominations.
I don't know.
Yeah.
How to judge this until the nominations are set. So. Yeah.
For Will Swenson, I think it's really hard to man a show like this, and be Neil Diamond and not get a nom. Andrew Burnap and Camelot, I'm just completely blind. I'm just listening to other people on this one. Josh Groban and Ben Platt are kind of duh. They have to be. I wouldn't be surprised. Second, I would put Ben Platt here.
And
I
Ben
know
Platt
that it shouldn't matter that he's already won, but it kind of feels like it does. Like that he won like recently.
Very, very recently.
I think he will win another Tony Award at some point, just maybe not this year.
On to maybe one of the heaviest hitting categories I've seen in a really long time.
This is my favorite category for the whole, this whole damn show. Is leading actress in a musical.
Yeah.
Nominations, I have Annalee Ashford, Michaela Diamond, Victoria Clark, Sarah Bareilles. This list.
Oh,
and
God.
Either I couldn't choose between Philippa Sue for Camelot or Patina Miller for Into the Woods. I couldn't choose. Because
Patina Miller, like, the witch?
Patina Miller's the witch. Patina Miller has also already won this award. She won it when she played leading player in Pippin. So I think this is between Victoria Clark, Michaela Diamond, and Annalee Ashford. That's what everyone has been saying. I've made it very clear on here. I think Annalee Ashford's going to win.
Yep.
I've seen all three of their performances. I've seen Annalee, Michaela, and Victoria Clark. I think Annalee was my favorite by far. When I saw Victoria Clark, I was like, damn, she's going to win. And that's what everyone who sees Kimberly Akimbo thinks. And then you see Sweeney and Parade, and you're like,
Yeah. I don't think it will be Philippa Sue nominated over Patina Miller.
Yeah, you think it'll be Patina?
Definitely Patina Miller.
You think Patina for you?
Yeah. I agree on Emily. Because I don't think, as much as it's a little selfish because the music in Parade is not as much my vocal
wheelhouse
style, but one I'm most comfortable with, and I think I would love to sing some of the stuff, but I've just been singing Sweeney stuff for so long.
Yeah.
Stuff from that show, and I'm such like a Sondheim fanboy.
It's so good.
I want Sweeney to win everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only category that they're going to win for is leading actress.
You think so? I thought the lighting design for this show was sick.
Based on me listening to all of the recordings.
Yeah, right.
If I was only listening to the recordings, though, Sarah Bareilles on the Into the Woods recording is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, that's just her. She's a vocalist first.
And that's why she won't win, because I'm assuming it's all vocal. But oh my god, she sounded so good on that recording.
Yeah.
So did everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing with this show. That's the thing with this show. It was just carried by the talent. So interesting to see what leading actress fleshes out, if Sarah Bareilles, Pippa Sue, and Bettina Miller, like where those will all fill in. Tough category. That's why they were trying to submit Michaela Diamond for featured actress, because going up against Victoria Clark and Emily Ashford. Realistically, it could be any of them. It could be Annalie, it could be Michaela or Victoria. I think Annalie will win if I have to pick one, but again, it really could go to either of them, which is not something we could say for last year's awards. I was really dead set on we knew who was winning which award last year for sure.
Yeah.
We got two more to get through. Featured actor and actress. For featured actor, I have Gavin Creel, Jordan Donica, Alex Newell, Gaten Matarazzo, and here's my wild card pick, Alex Joseph Grayson for Parade. Alex Joseph Grayson his character name is escaping my mind, but he's the guy who's like, he told me to watch the dough, that's what he said, and he sounds just so good on this cast recording. He's also in the Chan Gang going, hey, yeah. And he completely stole the show for me. Like, really good performance. I want him to get an award. I put a little question mark next to his name because this is just a real wild card pick. I don't think this will actually happen, but I would love to see this.
I remember his voice in that recording. I think realistically, if I'm doing a realistic one, that last slot is probably gonna go to Tony in Sweeney. What the fuck is his name?
Jordan Fisher?
Yeah, I think Jordan Fisher would get if Gaten Matarazzo is gonna get one, Jordan Fisher is gonna get one.
The only thing I'm basing this off of is, again, what I'm reading as well as what the critics said, and the critics did not like Jordan Fisher. I personally thought he was not good, which is why I'm not putting him on my list. I didn't see Gaten either. He was out of the show. But everyone who has seen it has said he's just like really good.
Because and that part is written well for him.
Yeah. And he's so good for Broadway. He is so good for Broadway. He's so genuine. Everyone loves him. And he sells seats just because of a TV show he was on.
Yeah, literally.
And so
regardless of his talent, because he is really talented, but you can't ignore the fact that he's selling seats based off of name.
Totally.
And he's doing an incredible job in that. I just think it would be odd. It would be like Hercules Mulligan getting considered over like Lafayette.
Yeah.
In Hamilton.
Totally.
It's like really Toby over what is it?
Anthony.
No, Anthony. They don't really call him Tony, but Toby, who is Gaten Matarazzo, over Anthony.
Yeah.
Maybe performance is better with Toby, and he you know, that part can drive home a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it did with like nothing's gonna harm you.
Right. I mean, the way that they staged it, and the guy that I saw was awesome. I would love to go back and see Gaten for sure. This show was just so good. I think they're gonna get a ton of acting noms. I've seen for featured actress, we'll get there, but I was seeing some people say Ruthie Ann Miles as Beggar Woman. I would really disagree. I don't think that part is just substantial enough to gain featured actors or featured status. Like I call that featured ensemble. Not, I guess that's what featured is. It's kind of anything, but I would really disagree with that take. I gotta finish my predictions. So for Gavin Creel, Jordan Dodica, and I have Alex Newell winning the award just because I think it's time. And just out of all of these, none of them have like a really solid case. I'm sure Jordan Dodica's awesome. For the videos that I saw, he sounded awesome. Yeah. I just don't know there. Haven't seen Camelot. I have seen Gavin Creel in Into the Woods. Brilliant. He's so good. This is like his. This will be like his fourth nomination. I would not be surprised if he was nominated. I also wouldn't be surprised if Joshua Henry slipped in here for featured actor for this, playing opposite Gavin Creel. But I think it's just Alex Newell's time. I kind of just had to take a shot in the dark here, but I'll go Alex Newell on here.
I agree.
And I think Alex is going to submit for featured actor. It was between featured actor or actress. We do know that Alex is going to submit for something, and the word on the street is actor, not actress, even though we talked about this last week.
It changes so much.
So now I'm very confident in my winner for featured actress.
Exactly. Which is probably why they should submit Alex for actress.
I would agree. But the thing is with featured actress, I put question marks next to a lot of these names because I really was just kind of guessing. For featured actress, I only saw one of these performances myself. And a lot of people were saying, like a lot of different people, and I'm like, yeah, I could see that. And I'm just kind of going off other people and like kind of what I think here. For featured actress, I have Betsy Wolfe, Bonnie Milligan, Julia Lester for Into the Woods, Carolee Carmello for Bad Cinderella. I think this will be their one nomination for acting. And Philippa Sue again for Into the Woods.
Yeah.
Just because I think it'd be so funny if she was nominated twice.
that would be funny. And also, again, Steps of the Palace, that freaking video of her.
She's just great. She's so good. I think Bonnie Milligan.
That, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just think Bonnie Milligan will win. I've been saying that.
Yeah. Bonnie Milligan is
Kimberly Kimbo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And her part's great. And I'm sure Carolee Carmello is awesome. Carolee Carmello is mom of Broadway, and she can do whatever she wants. She's awesome. I don't know here. Bad Cinderella doesn't, I don't think.
I think it's going to be the same as Funny Girl. They get the one nomination out of respect, and then...
Totally. No one featured nomination. It's exactly like Funny Girl. You're right.
Yeah.
But Julia Lester for Into the Woods, I was seeing that, and I saw Katie Garrity as Little Red on the tour, and she was brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if Julia Lester...
Julia Lester is...
She's the girl from High School Musical, the musical, the series, who played Little Red.
She really like embodied that character. I saw clips of her, one, singing, and two, singing it as like an 11-year-old.
Right. And so the clips that I was seeing, as well as if she played this part anything like Julia Lester, I'm sorry, who did I just say who I saw? That sucks. If she played it anything like the girl I saw on tour, it was so good. Oh my God, so good.
Yeah.
And Philippa Sue. Here, the featured actress is the least strong category, I think, from like my predictions standpoint, but this is kind of what I got. I feel the best about Best Musical. I think Kimberly Kimbo like has to take home Best Musical, right?
Yeah. I'm going to do a full listen through of all the shows.
I know. I got to listen to Some Like It Hot. I still haven't done that.
Some Like It Hot is also and Juliet. I haven't listened to.
Yeah, I mean, I have listened to Anne Juliet because it's songs I know, but it's like I don't think I've actually ever sat down and listened to it all. And excited for the full cast album.
Once the full nominations come out, I'm going to listen to each album again.
Yeah,
even the ones I have listened to.
I'm so excited for nominations.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm like, I just really want some upsets. Like, I want like. I don't want this, but like Josh Groban to just not get nominated. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
But like, I want something crazy. But
that could happen. And
it totally
Ben
could.
Platt, the same thing could, like, as much as it would be really weird for Ben Platt to not get nominated, but people are saying it looks like Ben Platt is up there singing beautifully.
Right.
Same with Josh Groban.
Right.
So, like, and if with what I have accessible to me, which is only reviews and cast albums and any videos they post.
Yeah.
I have to go based off of what other people say. I can't make those opinions really for myself because I haven't seen it.
I know. That's the hardest part about us like not having seen all these shows. I can't wait till the day that I can live in New York and just see all these shows and actually like there's people on TikTok who have and get to make opinions. And that's kind of what I'm basing a lot of this on is just what those people say because they're really well informed and I trust them. But a lot of it's opinion. And so we're really just going to have to wait and see. Really excited for this to come out.
Yeah.
I just realized we're at an hour and we still haven't gotten to the best part of the show. Liam, lead us on.
Man, that's gross. Right as we circle into the 60th minute, this is looking filthy.
Yeah. So we lost Phantom and grosses were down 18% this week, which is a lot. is a lot. But that's okay, because it was down about $3 million, which is what Phantom was grossing. So we really just lost Phantom. Ticket average was down 11%. The average to see a show this week was $120, which is down from $135 of last week. Again, Phantom influence. We were down 8 performances this week. That's Phantom's 8. Attendance was down 7%. Probably, you know, that's percentage-based, so that doesn't factor in Phantom. Phantom, if anything, would bring that up. I think, yeah, just a down week, which is okay. You expect that from weeks like this. Not quite where I want to see it. There's a lot of shows that had 20% declines in the gross category. Just some of the shows at a glance that had really negative declines. Andrew Liat's gross was down 13%. Aladdin's was down 23%. Bob Fosse's Dancing was down 23%. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child was down 25%, which is the biggest decline of the week. As well as The Lion King down 23%, Wicked down 23%, and everything else in single digits or not really of note, which was good. So those shows that weren't mentioned are, you know, doing all right. The shows that had a positive week over week in the grosses, the show that had the best was the Thanksgiving Play. They also did open this week, so that's not too surprising. Every show played the same performances as last week, except Prima Facie, which played one more show than they did last week. Other shows to have a good week were Goodnight Oscar, which was up from last week, especially in the attendance category. Fat Ham, which is, again, going into their opening. And Camelot had a really good week, which I love to see. The shows to sell out this week were the exact same as last week. We only had two, which were Hamilton and Sweeney Todd. So,
wow.
Attendance is really down. This is kind of what all this comes down to. Sweeney Todd is selling exactly the tickets that they have on the market. They're not really going over that much. They're consistently at 100.8, but they're not pushing ahead too much more. They're still only doing 7 performances, which is, you know, smart and strategic. It really helps with the longevity of the show and your actors and whatnot. But I allocated their money to go over 8 performances, and they would be over that $2 million threshold. They committed about $1.8 million this week, which is what I was saying, is they'd be at the low twos. To have a musical over $2 million is really good, and yeah. It just shows that your show really has that longevity, like I said, and it bodes really well just for their production down the road. The show that had the highest gross this week was The Lion King, which is weird because I've been saying either Funny Girl, which we'll talk about Funny Girl in a sec because they've really declined over as of late, or Phantom. So Lion King at 2.1, which is cool. Sweeney Todd would have just scratched that, just been knocking at the door of The Lion King if they were playing 8 performances, but they're not. I don't think they're ever going to plan to during the run of this show. Maybe later on down the road, but I don't see it right now happening. The most expensive show to go see and the show that had the most expensive ticket was Funny Girl. Funny Girl, the average price to get in was $197. The top ticket was $549. We're back into regular old territory.
Yeah.
The thing with Funny Girl is this show used to really dominate, and it is flattening out right now. If you go to Broadway World's gross trend chart for Funny Girl, I'm sure it goes up and I'm sure it goes back down. I would pull that up, but I'm pretty confident in that assumption. The most empty house this week was at Leopoldstadt, which was down 2%. They're now selling half their seats at 56%, which is not good. It's not good at all.
They're closing though, right? They have a date.
They are closing. The average price to get in there was $100, which is really expensive. It feels like when you're not selling those seats, those seats at all. The cheapest show to go see was the Thanksgiving Play at $52. So, I mean, Leopoldstadt is on Scary Watch, but it's not really something that I'm looking at now. Just because they're closing, and that feels like it's kind of a done deal at this point. Shows to have pretty good weeks. A Beautiful Noise had a pretty good week. Camelot, like I said already, had a really good week. Goodnight Oscar, like I said, had a really good week. Kimberly Akimbo had a good week, which I really love to see. Everything else is just staying on track.
Yeah.
Staying on track. What about Parade? I like to single out Parade every week. Parade, same as last. 95.5% of their house sold. Love to see it. I'm okay with that. Liam, is there anything else for you on this episode?
No, this is exactly what we're expecting from the loss of Phantom, and I think next week is going to be a nice way to tell if this really was a bad week.
I'd like to see an uptick. I would really like to.
Can't know yet, but it should, maybe should go up. End of April, come on. One last little push before the summer.
Yeah. And how many more weeks do we have until we get to podcast in person together?
So I am home May 23rd, and then you leave the country May 22nd, right?
Right.
So we have one extra week of no pod.
You're right. So we'll be traveling.
Maybe that might be a double travel day. So there might be no episode on May 23rd, I think.
Yeah, that's what
we're looking at. Yeah, May 23rd. You're going to be here, and I'm going to be jet lagged out of my mind.
I'm going to be in London. I leave at
9 a.m.
You're going to be home, and I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
So
we will.
Maybe we'll do. I don't know. We'll figure something out for that week.
Definitely.
But yeah, a few more Zoom episodes. We got three more Zoom episodes coming then. I'm so excited for nominations. You have no idea. Because
it's going to be insane.
Since last week, like, I'm just so tuned in to, like, theater TikTok and all this. And, like, all people have been talking about are Tony Awards nominations and, like, their predictions, like, too early predictions for the longest time. So I'm really excited. I would really like to get something right. I would really like for some of my predictions to be right. Like, I would like a perfect category would be really nice. I think
you'll get it.
I think that's attainable for musical, revival, and leading actor.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three I'm looking at.
That is more than reasonable.
Nice.
Perfect.
Nice. Well,
thank you for listening.
As always, thank you for listening to the Gavin and Liam podcast. I'm Gavin Blotter. That's Liam Ellis. And we will talk to you next week.
Mm-hmm.